You are listening to the Nerd Rage Renegades podcast. Catch the show every Wednesday on Spotify, Podbean, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Nerd Rage Renegades podcast. This is Spin Dash. On today's mega super episode, Rainbow Red Panda and I reunite Team Rainbow Dash as we discuss WrestleMania week. Everything, the matches, the Hall of Fame, and what we think is going to happen at WrestleMania and beyond. All this and more right now on the Nerd Rage Renegades podcast. It is that week, though. It is our favorite time of the week. It's WrestleMania week. This is like our Christmas. It is the time when we get no, Mr. Regal. We don't get
not
that.
Yet.
Not yet. We get WrestleMania. And we got what's funny, you know, you and I have been talking a little bit about this. It's the first WrestleMania without he who will not be named.
Yes.
And that's going to be very interesting because he's not there. His fingerprints are not on this whatsoever. There's no, none of his imprint on
this.
And with that, you know, there are some people we won't see, and we know all about that. We know we're not going to see the Beast.
There's still so many rumors. Like, even last night, I was seeing so much stuff online. Brock Lesnar's going to show up. And I'm like, no, he's not. Like, stop.
It's like a fly on the wall with all this, you know, because I'm like, because, you know, you haven't heard anything from Brock.
Yeah.
You've heard nothing from Brock. So he's probably in Canada and on his farm. But it's like, what does Rena think? What does Sable think about all this?
I really think that if he, I could see him like in the future after everything is said and done, potentially coming back. However, I don't think it's going to be for a very long time. As far as I know, there's still like a legal proceeding happening over all of this, so I feel like while there's like litigation and whatnot, he's definitely not going to be there. And then depending on what happens with all of that,
I mean, there's been a lot about his daughter, you know, because she's a wrestler and she's been, you know, in the news, not for anything bad, but because she's been winning she's been winning championships and everything like that. And I mean, Brock, for all extents and purposes, he's the first bout Hall of Famer. He's a first bout Hall of Famer, and I'm not saying this because it's horrible accusations, but the WWE has been wiping him from history, much like, you know, they're doing with with Vince and with what they did with Chris Benoit and all that. But it is one of the things, we don't know what's going to happen because the court case hasn't happened yet.
Right. And I don't know when the court case happens, how much is going to be public, how much is going to, because, I mean, the whole thing happened because of a leak. So, you know, if they actually are able to keep it sealed, who knows if we'll ever get any sort of actual closure. The only thing that I think I will miss him from this WrestleMania will just be the Paul Heyman Hall of Fame. I wish that he was involved in some capacity. Because it's in Philly and everything, I don't necessarily think that I wanted Brock to be the person that inducted Paul Heyman, but he could have been like, I don't know, I think it would have been cool for Heyman if they had done like a bunch of people from ECW, maybe have Punk and Lesnar and Roman and just have them all kind of be together and be like, you know, this man, you know, did this stuff. Just have like a group induction.
So, you know, and you brought it up. Let's go ahead and talk about the Hall of Fame, because it's WrestleMania week, which means Raw is already in the bank from last night. Raw, you know, I was recording this on Tuesday. Raw is already in the books.
Yep.
NXT is going on as we speak right now, and I'm excited for Stand and Deliver. I think Stand and Deliver is going to be an amazing show. Just the talent involved with that. Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, Roxanne Perez, Lyra Valkyria. Even though I love Lyra, but I don't understand her gimmick. I really don't, because it's like she came in supposed to be this, like, you know, with the Raven feathers and the Celtic stuff. But then it's my problem with NXT is you'll have people like Lyra and a talented lover. But then, like, when they're on the microphone, it's almost like they're glamour queens. They're dressed in dresses and dressed nice. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, what's her character? Like, Roxanne Perez, I get her character. She never lost the title. She's angry. She's getting that edge. Lyra, her entire reign, I just don't know who she is.
Right.
You know, but everybody else, I do.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting now, especially now that, you know, Triple H is in charge of WWE. With NXT, it'll be interesting to see now, like, whenever these people move up, if they will get to keep any of their gimmick, or maybe, like, with Lyra, they don't have it fully developed because they know that, like, if she moves up, it's going to completely change.
Right.
So, who knows?
So, we've got the Hall of Fame on Friday, right after SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Always one of my favorite nights of the year is the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I wish they still did it like they used to do it, where, you know, they had the big stage and everybody was kind of in front of them. Now they do it, you know, with a ring and the people are all mm-hmm. around it. I liked it more when everybody was just kind of in front, so you could see everything. But going down through the inductees, Muhammad Ali, the celebrity inductee, Muhammad Ali.
It's so weird that, like, that's the celebrity. Because
I mean, fought Antonio Inoki, had that mm-hmm. classic match. Was that WrestleMania 1?
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to Dave LaGreca. I don't know if you listen to Busted Open.
Not really.
So I listen to Busted Open. It's Dave LaGreca, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, Mark Henry, Mickey James, Thunder Rosa, and they just added mm-hmm. Nick Nemeth to the team.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, we thought Muhammad Ali was already in.
I kind of thought that too, but I just went with it.
But I think that, you know, as far as celebrity inductions go, I think this one is appropriate. You know, dissing, but better than Drew Carey.
Did they say who's inducting him?
Lonnie Ali.
Okay, will be inducting cool. him. I like her.
So I think that's going to be good. The U.S. Express is going in Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda. I think what they're doing with this is they're putting Mike in first, and then next year Bray will go in. I think the family was like, we want Mike in before Bray. Go ahead and let the father go in and then the son.
I think also I heard a lot of people, I mean, Bray hasn't even been gone for a year. And I feel like Hall of Fame, especially for the people that have passed, it's always emotional.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're at a place where they are ready for something like that.
They did it with Eddie, because when Eddie passed, they inducted him the next next
right, but,
WrestleMania.
I just don't know. I mean, I haven't watched it yet, besides the thing that happens at the end, but the Bray Wyatt documentary,
or
whatever you want to call it, I'm going to watch it tomorrow. I've been working crazy hours.
Be prepared to
I'm
cry.
I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm excited to watch it, but I'm also just, like, not completely prepared, I feel like. It's interesting because I've heard so much about the Bray Wyatt one. Like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I didn't know they also released one about Roman. Like, I didn't hear anything about it until, like...
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, did they release any more? Is it just the two of them? Like...
So, I watched the Bray Wyatt one. I watched it Monday or yesterday. And yeah, you'll cry because, you know, Bo is the center of it. Bo and Mike are kind of the center of it, you know, discussing Bray. But Eric Rowan is there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Braun Strowman is there.
Mm-hmm.
And they do talk about Brody Lee.
Yeah.
They talk about Brody Lee and what it did to Bray. And it was very emotional. I was sitting there on the couch watching it, and I was eating a thing of Rice Aroni. One of those little cups that you microwave. And I'm trying to eat, and I'm just, like, tearing up the whole time. I'm like, I gotta put this rice down. But the U.S. Express, so Mike Rotunda going in, and Barry Windham. Barry Windham, of course, already in the Hall of Fame with the Four Horsemen. And now he's going in with the U.S. Express, with Mike Rotunda. I think those both are very, they're very worthy. I mean, they were at the first, they fought, you know, they were at the first WrestleMania. Barry Windham, I think, is one of the most underrated wrestlers in history. I don't think Barry gets enough Mm-mm. credit for what he did, him and his brother, Kendall.
Yeah.
And Mike Rotunda, I mean, we all know him as IRS, but his work with the Varsity Club, just everything he brought to the table, I think that is a really good tag team induction. And then last night, as we found out, Leah Maivia is going into the Hall of Fame. Now, is this because The Rock is now on the board of TKO? Is this The Rock saying my grandmother needs to be in the Hall of Fame?
This is one where when The Rock took over on the TKO board, a lot of things happened. I remember being at work the day it was announced, and there are fortunately a lot of wrestling fans where I work now, so I get to just get all of my wrestling needs met. And we were all discussing it, and I remember that being a thing. Like, I didn't know that she wasn't announced already, because it was like, okay, like, he's coming in, you know, his stipulations, or at least the rumored stipulations, were like, he wanted the rights to the Rock name. He wanted the rights to, like, a bunch of his family names and just all these things. And I really thought that having her in the Hall of Fame was one of his stipulations, or one of his alleged stipulations, but maybe not, since it just got announced.
So she joins her husband, the High Chief, Peter Maivia, her son-in-law, Rocky Johnson, her family members, Rikishi and Yokozuna. So the NOI family, the bloodline, runs deep in the Hall of Fame.
Is this, as far as the Hall of Fame is concerned, one of the first inductees that wasn't directly involved in a WWE or WCW like product?
I mean, Vern Gagne with the AWA. Vern Gagne was put in. I think there's a couple that weren't, like, directly involved. Vern is the first one that comes to mind, is Vern. I don't know if Bill Watts ever did anything with the WWE. As far as promoters go, that's where I usually see it, is, like, the promoters.
Yeah.
But Leah, I mean, anybody who's watched Young Rock has seen the interpretation. And I think, and I loved Young Rock. When it was canceled, I was like,
I was really upset that it got canceled. I'm just like, wait, I thought it was doing well. Like, I know so many people that weren't even wrestling fans that loved that show.
And her, the actress who played her was just so good. So good. So funny. And you're right. Because I liked watching Young Rock because, one, we know the story. As wrestling fans, we know the Rock story. But it was fun to see all the people portraying the wrestlers, you know, portraying Ric Flair and Jake Roberts, and the guy that they got for Andre was just amazing. I thought he was so good. You know, Junkyard Dog's portrayal was good. The Wild Samoans, and then when they got to the more modern Stone Cold, Triple H, Mankind, all those were good. So Leah Maivia, Thunderbolt Patterson. So this one, probably not a lot of people know. He was in the 60s through the 80s. He was an NWA wrestler. So there's another one. He may not have, I don't know if he did anything with WWE.
Maybe not. So I guess they're expanding. That was one of the things on the internet that I saw, is like, apparently Vince had like a formula for the Hall of Fame. And it seems like they kind of kept that formula.
Yeah.
At least for this year.
But there you can see very heavily Triple H involvement here.
Oh, yeah.
With who he's getting, especially the next one, Bull Nakano, which I think is a long time coming. I don't think, other than Medusa and Wendy Richter, from that age, the Rock and wrestling connection. I mean, I guess you could throw Moolah in there as well. But as far as like the Rock and wrestling connection, or that early 90s women's wrestling, other than Medusa and Wendy Richter, they you know, they haven't really put anybody in. Leilani Kai, you know, Big Bertha Faye, Rock and Robin, none of them have got in. So Bull Nakano going in, being inducted by Medusa, I think is the right call.
100%.
Since, you know, Medusa thanked Bull in her acceptance speech a few years ago. But, you know, she's a Slammy winner. And even recently, I mean, we've seen Beth Phoenix don the Bull Nakano face paint when her and Adam Copeland was, you know, doing their thing against the Judgment Day. So I think that's very well deserved with Bull Nakano. And she doesn't look like she's aged a day. If you see pictures of her, she does not look like she aged. Look, she could be a part of Damage Control today. In fact, why not?
Maybe
bring Bull Nakano to Damage Control. Next up, of course, the main event. The man, the myth, the legend, the wise man, Paul Heyman. like you said, there, you know, Roman Reigns is inducting Paul Heyman.
Yeah, personally, finally announced yesterday. I've been wondering this entire time, like, who's going to induct him.
I mean, personally, for me, I would have loved if it was Tommy Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Or Stone Cold.
Yeah.
The history with Stone Cold going back to the Dangerous Alliance would have been good. Of course, Tommy Dreamer was his right-hand man. Tommy still talks about it. Anybody from ECW. And I'm pretty sure we'll see a lot of ECW alum in the audience.
I mean, there's so many ECW people are going to be in, because it's in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Whenever they announced WrestleMania was going to be in Philadelphia, I'm like, Paul Heyman has to go into the Hall of Fame this year. Like, there's no other time for him to go in.
And he, from what I've read and heard, you know, he did not, they've wanted him in the Hall of Fame for a couple of years now, and he kept saying no. So mm-hmm. I think when it came to Philly, it was like, okay, now is the right time. And I know Bully Ray will be in Philadelphia, because mm-hmm. he's doing a show with Busted Open at the ECW Arena.
Yeah.
RVD's on a Legends contract. Devon can be there.
Is RVD on a Legends contract?
I believe RVD's on a. So
is that
the
new?
So I found out about this because Bully Ray actually discussed it on his show. Legends contracts basically means they can use his likeness in video games and toys and things like that. But he can still go and do whatever he wants. That contract is primarily for like merchandising and likeness. But he can still do whatever he wants. So RVD, I believe he does have a Legends contract because he's in WWE 2K24. Okay. He's in 2K24, but he's also been showing up on AEW.
Yeah, he's there like, seems like every other month at least.
But, you know, and you said today Sabu's going to be in town.
Mm-hmm. Sabu's being inducted into the Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame.
And I'm very
excited for that.
You've got people working down in developmental, not Chris Chetty, old school ECW, old school fought Dusty with a bull rope match. It's not Chris Chetty. It's,
brain.
Yeah. The name is escaping me, but there's so many that are going to be there. And, you know, and especially Medusa is going to be there, another member of the Dangerous Alliance, the first Paul Heyman girl, CM Punk mm-hmm. is there. This, I think, first of all, I think we're going to get 10 minutes before Paul talks, because it's just going to be ECW chance for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We're not even going to get anything. My question is Paul going to talk long or is Paul going to talk short? Because we know his story. They put out that a few years ago, they put out that documentary, you know, My Name is Paul Heyman. He went through his history. So is he going to go long or short? That's the question. Is he going to go free? Is he going to go Freebird? Or is he going to go Hillbilly Jim? Or is he going to take 45 minutes to talk about his mama? That's the question.
I was there for the Mr. T speech and it was so funny.
Now, of course, with WrestleMania weekend, and you know, you're close to Philly. I'm close to Philly.
I'm leaving tomorrow.
You're leaving tomorrow. So what shows are you going to? Because, you know, it's a whole week. Everybody's going to be there.
So as the last 2 years, I've gone to the cities that many have been in. I've gone to zero Mania things. Honestly, WWE is too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They are, like, even last night, Raw was in Brooklyn, like a 10-minute walk from my house. The tickets for like the highest nosebleeds were $200-something.
And Tony Khan selling mid seats for like $50.
I paid $50 for my ticket to Revolution to watch Sting's last match. I think it was a glitch because whenever the actual tickets went on sale, they were more expensive than that. Mm. But $50, I took it and ran. But yeah, WrestleMania, the ones that I've gone to 10, 12 years ago, they were really well priced and it was just a really good value. I did go to SummerSlam 2 years ago and paid $100 for my ticket like the day of. But I feel like it's a thing of if you don't like wait until like the day of to get like a cheap deal, which might be in like a bad seat. It's really like, it's just so expensive, especially in a big stadium where like you're not even really seeing what's going on in the ring. Like, I'd rather just watch it from home on Peacock.
It's like, sorry kids, we're not going to Disney this year because I need to buy a WrestleMania ticket. Because it's the same price.
And plus, like, you're traveling, like, Philly's only a couple hours from New York, so, like, it's not that big of a deal. But, like, last year, like, flying to LA and, like, doing all of that, like, if I'm going to pay all of that money, I would like to at least be able to, like, see what's happening.
It's kind of like, I like, when I used to go to hockey games, like, I loved watching hockey live. But when you can't hear the commentary, it's kind of a different animal. So when you're at WrestleMania, you get the feel, the electricity and all that. But you want to hear the commentary. And especially this year, since Punk is going to be on commentary for the Rollins-McIntyre match, that you got to hear that. You got to see what, because, you got to hear what Punk's going to say. I mean, he just did an interview that dropped today with Ariel Helwani. And he just let it all out. But what I liked about it was it sounded like a more mature Punk. Like, he was more articulate talking about stuff. But so I do want to ask you, because because you had some hate on Punk for a while.
It's still there.
It's still there. Me, on the other hand, now I love Punk. I do love Punk. So what do you think of his return so far? Understanding he got injured, that seems to be par for the course these last couple years with Punk. But as far as Punk as a person and his presentation and what he's been doing since returning to the WWE compared to what we saw in AEW, what are your thoughts with Punk?
So when Punk returned to AEW, I was shocked because, you know, he's been very much out of any sort of spotlight his like entire 9 years that he was gone. You would see him, you know, on some MMA stuff, on some like Chicago sports stuff. He was on an episode of Talking Dead once.
He had that little stint with that WWE show that was on Fox.
Yeah, that was crazy too. Yeah. But, you know, I was excited for him to come to AEW, not necessarily to see him wrestle, but he has always been someone that has been entertaining to me on the mic. I want to hear what he has to say. You know, the matches that he had, some of them I liked, some of them it was like, okay, you know, you definitely have the, like, you know, him attempting to do the buckshot and having his legs buckle or whatever happened. Like, you know, there were little things like that, but it just seems like I feel like saying this, I sound like all the people on the internet that always get hate, but to me, he does very much sound like, you know, he has a lot of bitterness and he isn't like the dramas that went on in AEW, whether they were professional or not, I feel like they wouldn't have been as big of a deal if he wouldn't have made them as big of a deal. Hangman went off cuff on a promo and you didn't like what he said. No one knew that he did that until you got upset about it.
Right.
People loved that promo. I loved that promo. It was a good promo. It was a good segment for both of them. So him getting upset, which then eventually led to Brawl Out and whatever happened there, his rant on Colt Cabana and everything else, that, you know, ruined kind of the whole pay-per-view. And then, you know, just everything that happened him, even yesterday or today or whatever, in the interview with Ariel, kind of being the first one to openly talk about what happened in Wembley with Jungle Boy. And it's just like, it's just doesn't match for me. Like, it's very, I did nothing wrong. I'm not a problematic person, but yet all of these people have a problem with you. Like, you have to be doing something. You can't be, oh, I'm just an innocent, like, Tony Schiavone came to get me and I was trying to save the day. I don't know. The stuff that he's been doing in WWE, I don't care about it because I just don't care about him as a person anymore. Like, he's like, when I was in Chicago, the day that Tony Khan came out and was like, you know, I had to fire Punk. The fact that people in Chicago were cheering that was like, your own people are kind of not even on your side on this one. Like, you know.
Now let's go on the other. Let's go on the other side of that. Punk coming back though has done wonders for Drew McIntyre.
Oh, Drew McIntyre, this whole thing, I love Drew. If he could just do this forever, I think it is some of the best work that he's ever done. I just don't care about Punk responding to any of it. I just want Drew to keep doing what he's doing and being a troll. I don't care about the Punk aspect. I don't need Punk on commentary for his match with Seth. But he's going to be there. I'm sure it'll be entertaining, maybe. It just depends on what Punk we get. I want the entertaining Punk, not the bitter old man Punk.
Right. Now, I'm going to throw out a scenario to you, because this has been playing in my head ever since it became Drew and Seth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I want your take on it. So, I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion that Seth is going to lose the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I think we pretty much know that.
Yes.
But, who's walking out? Is it going to be Drew? Or is it going to be Damian Priest?
That's
why I'm asking, because there's been history between Priest and McIntyre, between McIntyre and the Judgment Day. And this whole thing has been Drew saying, I've been screwed so many times. I've been screwed. The bloodline screwed me and this screwed me and all this other stuff. I'm the savior of WrestleMania. What if he's about to win and then Damian cashes in and steals the title from Drew?
I have been talking about that a lot this week. It's fitting for me because I want Drew to beat Seth. I want Drew to have his moment of winning a title in front of fans, because when he won it the first time, it was in front of screens.
Yep.
But just like this situation, as soon as he won it, here comes the Big Show. You're going to challenge me right now.
Yeah.
He didn't have a money in the bank. He didn't have anything. He just, I'm the Big Show. I do what I want.
Yep.
And so I could see the same situation happening here, but it being Damian Priest and him cashing in. Because I don't know why he hasn't cashed in already. That's kind of like the big question. It's like, you know, Seth has had so many opportunities that he could have cashed in on, including last night. But yet Damian Priest was like, I don't know, off doing Judgment Day things.
Yeah.
So I definitely could see him. I don't think that Punk will get involved in the McIntyre-Rollins match. At least I hope he doesn't. But if Priest comes and cashes in, I could almost see him getting involved in that.
Because the way I see it, Judgment Day, so they've announced both sets of titles are on the line for the tag team belt. So one set will be up there. You pull those down, you're the Raw champions. The next set gets pulled down, you're the SmackDown champion. So it looks like they're splitting up the belts. And I think the feel-good story is going to be R-Truth getting a belt. I think that's where we're headed. They've been pushing R-Truth, and God, thank you for R-Truth.
Yes.
I freaking love R-Truth.
I do too.
I love the little, you know, glitch they had a few weeks ago where they're like, he's been in the WWE for this amount of time, and it was some of that time was when he was in TNA as the NWA champion. But I think, you know, we're gonna get it, in my mind, Awesome Truth's gonna pick up the Raw titles, and I honestly think if just my prediction, New Catch Republic is getting the SmackDown. I think Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne are getting the SmackDown.
I would love for Pete Dunne to have a title
now that he's no longer Butch.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. Like, whenever they announced that, I almost wish that it was a situation where the titles weren't, like, connected. Like, because I'm sure that, like, the Raw titles are going to be on, like, the hanger thing, and then the SmackDown is going to be on the other hanger thing. I kind of wish that, like, they were just separate, and, like, R-Truth ends up back in the Judgment Day because he gets one, and, like, Balor gets the other or something. Like,
live, laugh, love.
I just think it would be funny if, like, you got, like, random teams, because just, like, one person from each team got a title. Just mix it up. Just have, like, random champions.
That would be
and
fun.
And that's how he officially joins the Judgment Day, and they can't deny him.
I've heard rumors that they may switch up one of the teams, that Waller and Theory may actually be out of the match, and they might put Pretty Deadly in.
Interesting.
I mean, I love me some Yes Boys.
I can't think of Pretty Deadly without just thinking of the comic book series.
I know. So another match that's going to go on, and this one I just don't care about. I'll be truthfully honest. Every WrestleMania is like that one match you just don't care about.
Yeah, there's a few of those for me.
I don't care about Dom and Santos against Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio.
I don't either. And I thought it was interesting yesterday on Raw. Like, I don't, like, full disclosure, I really haven't watched a full episode of Raw or SmackDown in a very long time. Maybe, like, last year's Raw after Mania was the last, like, full Raw that I've watched. I watched clips. Last night, I watched 2 out of 3 hours because I was at work, so I had it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dominic and the LFO segment with Judgment Day, I thought it was interesting because they finally brought back Andrade, but like Zelina was just back there acting like they had no history, and I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like,
I really want him to do more with Zelina.
It was just interesting because even the way that they were talking, it was like they were talking about like all the history of all these people, and I'm like, she's right there.
Yeah.
Like, that's his girl. Like, come on.
I don't want to see Dom versus Rey again. We already saw it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it again. And I mean, I love Santos Escobar. I love Santos as a wrestler. I think he's a great talent. I think he's good heel. Him as a babyface, I'd never want him as a babyface. Santos is a heel 100%. I did not like that it's Dragon Lee. I really thought it should be Carlito.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the whole storyline, is why Escobar left in the first place was because of Carlito. So why bring in Dragon Lee, who every time we see Dragon Lee, he loses. They've had him on a massive losing streak. You know, he lost the North American title, lost to Santos, went for the North American title against Obafemi again, lost. You know, he keeps losing. Carlito, I think, would be the more accurate person to put in there. And you never know. I mean, the crowd last Friday night when Rey Mysterio was going to say his partner, the crowd was behind Carlito.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd wanted Carlito. So it could be, you know, Phantasmo will do something to Dragon Lee. Carlito will be put in. Which, yeah. I honestly believe Carlito deserves that WrestleMania moment. I really
100%.
Do. The other match, and I think this... Because I know, you know, reading the internet, and I hate reading the internet in wrestling community.
Mm-hmm.
I hate reading it. But the Bianca Belair, Naomi, Jade Cargill versus Damage Control. It, to me, understanding, you know, the significance of the match. But it does feel to me like, oh, we need Bianca to do something at WrestleMania. She's not in a title picture. And we just signed Jade Cargill, and we've only seen her... at the Royal Rumble. We got to, you know, and we just got Naomi back, so we got to, you know, put them together, and they'll go against Damage Control and beat the tag champions, you know, who are the most dominant tag champions right now. They're going to beat them. You know, that's another one where it's just like, I'm not invested in that one.
It's interesting because, like, I like all of these individuals, but this match, like, I have high hopes for it. I hope, you know, everyone's been like, where's Jade? Where's Jade? Like, what's going on? Like, you know, you guys made such a big deal out of her, and then she disappeared. And I like how they presented Jade. I'm glad they let her keep basically everything that she had in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird because it's like, okay, like, she got to keep everything. And, like, even whenever she was on SmackDown, it's like, okay, she looks just like she did in AEW. Like, I don't understand. Like, maybe we'll see something, you know, that shows that there has been some sort of progress. I mean, she wasn't bad in AEW. Like, she, it wasn't like she was a failure.
No, but she was definitely the Goldberg of AEW.
Yeah, 100%. And it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, will she get a slight winning streak here? But the main thing that I look at this and I say, okay, this could have just been a tag match for the tag titles. It could have been Bianca and Naomi versus Asuka and Kairi. But then they added Jade, they added Dakota, and I'm like, isn't this why Naomi and Sasha left the first time?
Exactly. And you look at like the dynamic. You've got Bianca Belair and Jade. Powerhouses. Giant powerhouses. And then you've got basically more of, you know, when you talk about the Kabuki Warriors and Dakota Kai, they're more your, you know, your high flyers, your fast paced ones. Mm-hmm. You know, Dakota just coming back from knee surgery. And I mean, Asuka has her WrestleMania. It's like she can't win at WrestleMania. Asuka can't win at WrestleMania. So here's another loss. She just brought Kairi back, and God, do I love me Kairi Sane.
Yes,
I love me. When she came, when she showed back up in Saudi Arabia, I was like, oh shit, yes, I love me some Kairi Sane. I love me some Dakota Kai. You know, but I understand they're doing, you know, the fall of damage control. This is going to be the fall of damage control. But it just, that match, it just doesn't, hopefully we get some good spots in it, but I don't know if it's going to go long. I mean, Bianca can have a long match. Naomi can have a long match. Asuka can have a long match. Kairi can, but can Jade have a long match, or is she going to be on the apron most of the time, come in for the hot tag, and then be back out on the apron?
Yeah, I mean, it being a 3-on-3, I don't know how much of the match she'll get to be in versus the other two. But also looking at the card, I almost think that they just did this on the first day just to say, okay, we had a women's match.
Right.
They needed to have some sort of women's match. Why they didn't put, you know, the two title matches, one on one night and one on... Oh, I guess the Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch is the first night too.
Yeah, so that's first night. But Io Sky and Bayley is night two, which...
Yeah.
I don't think they've done a good enough build-up for Bayley versus Io. Because it's been damage control with Bayley, with Bianca and Naomi. In that you've gotten very little Bayley and Io. Mm-hmm. And that was the feel-good story of you know, other than Cody at Royal Rumble, was Bayley.
Yeah.
And she's the workhorse of the women's division.
I almost feel like that's the whole like running joke, like Bayley and Cody won the Royal Rumble. Cody's face was plastered everywhere, but Bayley's wasn't. It was always Bianca. That was plastered everywhere. And it's like, okay, yeah, she just had like a TV show come out or whatever, but like, you know, she didn't win the Rumble, and she, you know, like Bayley's been here forever and been doing all this stuff, and she's just still not getting the recognition that she deserves. And it's interesting because I don't know if it's still like confirmed to be happening, but like Bayley's coming out to like a Hayley Williams song at WrestleMania. Okay. Not Paramore, but Hayley Williams. The reports were like Paramore, and it's like, no, it's not the whole band, it's just Hayley. But it'll be interesting just if that still happens. Because the song, I listened to it, I'm like, this just doesn't scream WrestleMania entrance to me. It's a good song, but it's just interesting.
See, I'm interested as well because AJ Styles has dropped. He was doing one of those Fanatic signings the other day. And he actually dropped that he's going to have a new theme at WrestleMania.
Oh, I don't now, like when they do that.
Well, here's what I'm wondering. Okay.
Are they going to have the trombone come back and play his old TNA theme?
Are we going to hear, I am?
That's what I want.
Or is he pulling out his old Lone Wolf theme from TNA when he was the Lone Wolf? Okay. Because knowing that, you know, now I don't know if they still have it with Scott D'Amore, no longer with TNA. But, you know, you had Jordynne Grace in the Rumble, which, goddamn, she had a good showing at the Rumble. Jordan had an amazing showing at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that was like the shock of the night for me. Having like, yeah, Naomi coming back was like a shock, but like Jordan being in the Rumble, because yeah, like they've had the Knockouts champion before, but like that was Mickie James. She had a connection to this company, whereas Jordan's just Jordynne Grace, which is great. But yeah, I loved seeing that. I was hoping that there would be more involved, especially since I think it's, what part of WWE, it's one of some thing that's connected to them. Like they bought like all the back catalog of Impact.
Something like
and
that.
TNA.
Something like that. Because so I'm still wondering like, if the Motor City Machine Guns are going to show up. Because they're not with TNA anymore.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they're thinking.
And Alex Shelley. Alex Shelley has done some stuff in NXT when he teamed up with Kushida. When Kushida was down in NXT. He did do some stuff. But AJ Styles, LA Knight. I think it's going to be a great match. Both guys can go. It's pretty much two generational TNAs, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Two generations of TNA. I like that they kind of did an Austin Invades Pillman angle with LA Knight and AJ. I liked that. It was more raw and more, you know, real. So I think it's just going to be that good match. It's going to be like Styles versus Jericho a couple, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. It's going to be a good match because it's AJ.
Yeah.
The question is the OC going to get involved since he's on the outs with the OC? So I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Let's talk about one of your favorite people in the world. Let's talk about Logan Paul. Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens.
When did Randy Orton become part of this match? Like, I missed that whole part.
So,
I was watching this on Monday, and I was like, wait, when did Randy become part of this?
So, Randy, you know, it started at Elimination Chamber when Logan hit Randy with the brass knucks.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, Randy RKO'd, what's-his-face, Logan's little friend, KSI.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that. And then you got, and honestly, him and KO are hilarious together.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it was like they were going to like pretty deadly interrupt Kevin Owens, and he was like, "Oh, you don't do this. You don't just you want a tag team match? I'll get it to partner. Hey, you want to be my partner?" And they're just Randy Orton. He's like, "You and me as a tag team? Yeah, let's do it." You know. So I love Kevin Owens. I hope Kevin wins it because that's kind of been the story since Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And all that. I give Logan credit. Athletically. And ring awareness, he's picked it up on like a Kurt Angle level.
Yeah.
As a person, he's still kind of not my favorite. And I hope his brother gets knocked out by Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I hope that Jake Paul stays far away from all the wrestling things. I don't want, like, whenever, was it in Saudi that he, like, ended up...
He was somewhere. It was
on the ramp. Like, they, like, yeah. drug him out, or he came out to help Logan or something, and I was like, no.
Now,
like, Logan's fine. Logan can stay. I do not want Jake Paul.
Okay. What about this, though? Because we know, in January, Raw's going to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
In June or July, Netflix is showing Jake Paul versus Tyson.
Yeah.
Tyson is a WWE Hall of Famer. So what if Jake comes out and tries to help Logan and there's Tyson? So kind of like a working relationship now that they're on Netflix, and it builds up more with the wrestling audience for Tyson and Jake Paul.
I don't think they need that, though. Like, Mike Tyson is just such a figure on his own. Like, you're either going to watch the fight or you're not going to watch it. Like, they don't need promotion.
And he's a beast. Have you
Especially
seen any of his training videos?
God, Netflix,
he's a beast.
Netflix is going to have that on every home screen. Every time you sign into Netflix, it's going to have a countdown as to when this thing is happening. It's probably going to send you 25 notifications. Like, you're definitely going to know that it's happening.
I can't. I'm going to watch it. I'm honestly going to watch it because I've been watching Mike Tyson train, and that dude can still beat the shit out of anybody.
We'll probably watch. I mean, a lot of Jake's fights I'm always interested in just because I'm one of those people that's like, is he going to get knocked out? Like, can he please just get knocked out? I'm not going to pay for any of his fights, but like, there was, I think, one time I was coming back from a trip and somebody was like watching it in the seat ahead in front of me. And I'm like, what are you watching? Like, let me watch that. But Logan definitely, like, I mean, he came to WrestleMania, was it 2 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
That was his first appearance. He was like the celebrity match.
Yeah, because 2 years and, let's see, last year was him and last year was him and Ricochet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the year before that, no, or was it him and Seth last year actually? Was it him and I think it was WrestleMania Hollywood. I think it was him and Seth.
Oh yeah, him and Seth. Him and Ricochet was
SummerSlam. Yeah. Okay.
But
I'm hoping Kevin Owens walks out.
He does well. Like, I still don't necessarily like him as a person, but he's, I mean, Logan Paul and Bad Bunny are the two people that I said, you know, they are celebrities, but they did so well. Like, honestly, bring back Bad Bunny.
I love Bad Bunny. He was
so entertaining to me.
Freaking love Bad Bunny.
And for, especially for somebody of like Bad Bunny's like caliber, like he's such a name and he's like so known, and for him to just like take time out of his schedule to like train and properly learn the sport because he loves it so much, like that's the bar.
Bunny is great.
Is there there is not a celebrity, I mean, I guess if you're still counting Logan Paul as a celebrity and not a WWE signed superstar, but there's not like a celebrity match this year.
Nope, not this year. Now we are getting the 6-man Philadelphia street fight. Bobby Lashley, the Street Profits, with B-Fab against the Final Testament of Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar with Scarlett and Sweet Paul Ellery. Send Kross back to NXT. That's what I got to say. Send Kross back to NXT, because that was the... I love Karrion Kross. I love Scarlett, but the best they were utilized was NXT under Trips.
100%. Their run at NXT was the best. And I was hoping, that's kind of one of the guys that I was hoping, like, whenever Triple H took over, that he would finally get to be able to be, you know, the Karrion Kross, the Killer Kross that we know, and not like the weird, like, BDSM, like, whatever he was whenever he first came to Raw.
It was like they,
terrible.
Vince was trying to resurrect Lord Humongous from Tennessee.
But I really feel like he needs to have kind of like the Baron Corbin, the Dolph Ziggler, the Mandy Rose treatment of being sent back to NXT for a minute, you know, building himself up there, and then he can, well, I mean, I guess Mandy Rose got released, so it didn't work for her, but...
Yeah, she's still making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But Baron Corbin, definitely, I think this is the best Corbin we've seen since the Lone Wolf days.
Yeah. 100%.
And when you have someone like Paul Ellering, I mean, it's Paul Ellering, the manager of the Road Warriors, one of the best talkers out there, and he barely says a word. Like, put more emphasis with Paul.
Yeah.
Because he can talk. Shoot, bring back Rocky the Puppet. I don't care. Just give Paul Ellering more time on the mic. Because, really, the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley, I haven't cared about them in a while.
Yeah, they're not my, like, I get, like, okay, they're trying to be, like, the old stable of Lashley's, but it's, like, it's just not the same.
It's
like,
not the Hurt Business.
It's not someone, yeah, it's not.
It's because they don't have MVP.
Like, the Hurt Business, I was invested in. I loved it. I was so upset whenever they broke up. I think that they definitely broke that up way too prematurely. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't make sense. And this just isn't hitting the same. This isn't what I want.
No.
The Final Testament, like, it has the potential to be something, but, like, I like all of the pieces. It's just not where I want it to be.
All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes here. Let's start Yeet versus No Yeet. Jimmy versus Jay. A year ago, they're the tag team champions, main event night one WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're going against each other. The classic brother versus brother. You know, Brett and Owen, Kane and Taker. The classic brother versus brother match. The reason why I want to see this is the jealousy of Jimmy Uso.
Oh, yes.
He's the big brother, and Jimmy is, and Jay is getting the limelight. You know, and Jimmy is nothing without Roman. That's what it's kind of boiled down to. You're nothing without the bloodline. Jay can handle himself on his own without the bloodline, but you can't do shit without the bloodline. I think this is going to be high flying. It's going to be hard hitting. There's going to be emotion. This match may steal the show.
I hope so. I have been waiting to see how long it would take for them to finally have this match. I feel like it was very overdue. They could have done something a long time ago. Is this match under blood? Line rules?
Nope, it's just a singles match. Okay. Just a one-on-one. So Solo could get involved.
That'll be, I think, the determining factor for me. I love that WWE was able to get the Yeet trademark for Jay. That even though I'm so the wrestler that had it on the independents was one that I followed, and it was interesting because like he had it on his merch and stuff, and after that trademark changed hands or whatever happened, you would see him at shows and he would have it like all like sharpied out. So I'm like, are you not allowed to use it anymore, or can you just not use it right now? He does have it back on his new gear, so I guess maybe they're both allowed to use it.
Yeah.
But it's just become so synonymous with Jay. And I don't know, Jay, especially like in his short run of teaming with Cody, like that, you know, that press conference still is something that I could watch over and over again.
I can watch it over and over. And it's
so kind of good.
Yeet is the new what?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good with that, because it was time for what to go away. But now we got Yeet.
Yeah. And it's funny because Yeet's one of those phrases that, like, it was around, like, a while ago. Like, 5 years ago, people were saying Yeet. And I feel like it's come back in a way where it's like, okay, it's not as cringy anymore to say. No. It's like, good, because I like saying Yeet.
Gunther versus Sammy. What do you think?
I don't know. Watching the vignette yesterday of Sammy being trained by Chad Gable and being like, especially whenever he was like, I'm doing this because I don't want my son, like, just like how your daughter had to see it, my son had to see it, and like bringing like the kids into it. And I want to root for Sammy, but I just feel like Gunther is like this unstoppable force.
Like, I would, as much as I love Sammy, and I do, I love Sammy, I would love to see Gunther retain and then basically say, I've beaten everybody. I've beaten everybody. You know what? Here's your title. Put it up in a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going after the World Heavyweight Championship. Because that's the next logical step for Gunther, is the World Heavyweight title. So that's what I want to see. I really think they're going to do a feel good with Sammy winning, or Sammy loses and Chad turns on Sammy and just beats the snot out of Sammy.
Yeah, see that. It's just interesting, like, even the whole thing of, like, you know, Sammy being upset, like, last year I, like, main evented, you know, WrestleMania with the tag matches, and, like, this year, like, I'm not even on the card, and then, like, he's on the card, and Sammy just is always able to like find a way to make his story entertaining, and I'm glad that he has finally been able to kind of stay in this like spotlight, because he for a while was a guy that wasn't used to his full potential, and it was very frustrating to see because he has been such a great character.
And I think that's testament to Triple H.
Yeah, I just don't. I want Sammy to win, but I feel like Gunther's story, it's to continue to be the champion, or to, you know, relinquish it under his own terms.
All right. Rhea Ripley versus the man, Becky Lynch. This one's interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really thought they were going with Liv Morgan. I thought they were going to go with Liv.
I really think, I always look at these matches and I look at what's going on and I'm like, okay, Becky just had a book come out. So I really feel like if Becky wins, it's going to basically just be because of the circumstances. She just had a book come out, all this other stuff. She's doing all this promo, like, let's give her a belt and she can, you know, have that with her everywhere that she goes. But I love Rhea as the champion. And it's kind of a thing of, with a lot of, well, some of these matches, I'm like, okay, like, Becky wins, great. Like, we've seen what she can do as a champion. You know, we've seen her, what she can do not as a champion. But I'm like, Rhea, like, it's not that you lose interest if she doesn't have the title, but it's like, she's on such a high. Like, she's like the leader of the Judgment Day, all this stuff. It's like, if she loses that title, I almost feel like she kind of loses everything.
Right. And especially with the Judgment Day, you know, with the tag belts on the line, there's a possibility of them losing that. They've been having a little bit of schism with Dom because Dom's been going out and doing things without discussing it with Mommy. So they're kind of starting that little rift, you know. And JD, you ain't even hearing anymore. JD, you're not a part of the Judgment Day. You lost the stipulation, JD. Okay. The thing is, if they put the belt on Becky, we're looking at a Charlotte Flair situation.
Yeah.
Where, Charlotte's going for a title. She's going to win it. You know, it's kind of that situation. And that's the problem that I have. Like, I love Bayley and EO because to me, that's fresh. That's new, especially Bayley hasn't held, you know, a title like that in a couple of years, not since her long reign as SmackDown champion. But then when you look at the rest of the roster, it seems like every title picture, it's Rhea, it's Becky, it's Charlotte, it's Nia Jax. That's what you're getting. But then you have, like I said, you have Liv Morgan. You have all these other females on there that are so talented. You know, where's Nikki Cross been? She's catatonic in the back somewhere. Candice LeRae is making fun of poor Maxine Dupri. And I love Maxine Dupri.
Yeah.
You know?
And you have Naomi that's just come back after being on like the hottest run of her career in Impact TNA. And, you know, I would like to see her back in the title picture at some point.
I think she's proved herself. She's a main event draw, you know. And put Bianca in there as well, you know, because if Bianca's going for a title, a lot of times she's going to win it until Io Sky cashes in on her. And it's one of those things, you know, it's kind of the old Vince way, you know. I'm not saying anything bad about Bianca Belair because she's super talented. She's a good performer, but she is the new John Cena. She's the new John Cena. She's out there with the kids. She has the grand entrances. She is the baby face. She's the new John Cena, which if I got the Bianca Belair that was in NXT, the heel, I would love to see it. Because she can play a heel like nobody's business. And pretty much she is a heel. I'm the best. I'm the fastest. I'm the strongest. She is a heel. The way she dresses is a heel. And I don't understand. Maybe you can tell me from a female perspective, what's with all the bodysuits? And half of them are like naked other than just covering the bits. What's with the bodysuits?
I guess it's just a way to make sure everything is smooth and tucked and all of that.
Sasha or Mercedes Moné coming out in them and all that stuff. We're not even going to get started on that whole thing. That's another episode. We'll discuss the AEW on another episode. Because I'll tell you this, I'll go for like an hour talking about Julia Hart and Sky Blue. I love me some Julia Hart and Sky Blue.
Is it recording?
All right. Yeah, we're recording. We're good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. So, Rock, Roman, Cody, Seth. Do we get a stipulation? Do we get bloodline rules on night two? Or do we get a one-on-one on night two?
To me, the biggest what if about this match is you have Roman who, like, wrestles once a quarter. You have Brock who hasn't wrestled in years. Seth's coming back from an injury.
Yep.
Cody's just Cody, and even if he's injured, he's going to wrestle.
Yep.
The three of these four competitors, it's just like, what if somebody gets injured on night one?
What if it's a Punk situation?
Yeah. It's like you have all these matches for night two. You know, Roman and Cody are going to be in a match together. If one of them gets injured, what happens? Brock going to take their place? Maybe. Seth has Drew. So I guess if Seth gets injured, then I don't know.
Drew versus Gunther. Just grab Gunther. Say go.
So I'm mainly just interested to see how this match goes. I don't know that they're going to do anything too crazy just because the risk for injury is very real. And the matches they have the next night are too important to not have.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, like,
the way that The Rock has been doing it, to me, it's kind of obvious that Cody's mom is probably going to be ringside.
Mm-hmm.
Does she get involved? Weird question, but does Mama Rhodes get involved? Is Dustin Rhodes going to be ringside?
I would love that. I don't think so, since he's under contract, but Dustin's been fueling the fire on social media nonstop.
I think,
and he is the one that they're not talking about.
Yeah, I think that if WWE would let him be ringside, he would be ringside. I don't think AEW has a problem with him being ringside. They don't care.
So it's kind of like when you went to Sting's last match.
Mm-hmm.
Lex Luger was there.
Yeah.
But he could not be shown on TV because he's under contract with the WWE.
Right.
Because he has a Legends deal.
But that's the thing.
He's also shown,
but RVD can wrestle, so don't get it.
Well, also, I believe Lex also works for the health and wellness program.
Oh, yeah.
For the WWE. Because, I mean, you saw Lex, he's in a wheelchair now. Mm-hmm. All his muscle is gone because of the years of steroid abuse and all that. But Lex, if anybody has not heard Lex's podcast, go listen to Lex. He is the most humble guy on the planet. Just listening to him, he is so happy to be alive and just talking.
Mm-hmm.
I love listening to him. But so here's my thought process. And this is like 50 million thought processes in my weird, freaking mm-hmm. fucked up head. One, I would like to see Cody and Seth win because Roman has never had a one-on-one. Every win Roman has had is because a member of the bloodline has interfered. Every one.
But even, I think there was like one of his matches with Kevin Owens or something was supposed to be one-on-one, but then the ref got taken down.
Exactly.
And he still came out. So even if it is a one-on-one, I feel like there's still no guarantee that it's going to actually be a one-on-one.
Now, here's my other thought process. What if The Rock has been playing Roman this whole time? What if this was all a setup between Rock and Cody? Because Roman comes out there, I'm the head of the table. You know, I'm the head of the table. I'm the tribal chief. But then you got The Rock, mm-hmm. who is the grandson of the high chief.
Mm-hmm.
Afa and Sika were not chiefs, as far as I know. But Peter Maivia was the high chief. So as far as blood goes, it should be The Rock who's the head of the table. So what if mm-hmm. all of this has just been a big ruse? Rock is playing Roman. That way it'll lead to him and Roman for the head of the table.
I mean, that's always been like SummerSlam more than likely. It's going to be Rock versus Roman. Mm-hmm. Regardless, title, no title. Like, The Rock doesn't need this to be for a title. It's more about the title of head of the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, the final boss thing, I'm just like, okay. It's interesting because, like, that is something that, like, Samoa Joe has used for, like, most of his career. And I'm like, okay, like, that's funny. Samoa versus Samoa here. Like, what's going on?
I watch this on YouTube. I watch a channel called Wrestle Talk.
Yeah.
And they did a whole video on the bloodline. Like, the entire lineage of the bloodline. Mm-hmm. And they're going through, and Ollie Davis is talking about it. But then Luke Owen goes, and that's where Samoa Joe comes in. And they're sitting there going, no! Samoa Joe is not part of the bloodline! He's not part of the family! And they're like, but when does Samoa Joe come in? Because he's, like, the only Samoan who's not a member of the bloodline, yeah. You know? Now, the other interesting fact, though, is Tama Tonga.
Yeah.
Because he left New Japan, it's known he's going to WWE. And Tama Tonga is a part of the bloodline mm-hmm. through, you know, with Haku. So could we see Tama Tonga show up?
I feel like there's a bunch of people. It's like, I mean, so many people of this family, especially like, they're all probably going to be there for the Hall of Fame and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this whole family is going to be there. Is this going to be a thing where like they'll just like stand and watch? And like, what are these entrances going to be like? Like The Rock, it's going to be crazy.
That's my favorite thing. I want to see the entrances.
Yeah, like
I want to see how everybody comes out. I mean, you pretty much know Kevin Owens. He's just going to come out to the ring. It's Kevin Owens. He doesn't need Flash. He's just going to come down.
Yeah.
Kevin, we're still upset that you never jumped off the giant pirate ship.
Off of the pirate ship. That's all he needs, and he was denied that.
You never got to jump off the pirate ship. Randy Orton, he's just going to come out. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get a big thing for Randy Orton. Seth is going to come out in some big poofy ensemble.
He's going to have the highest of heels on, I think.
Oh, he's going to have those Mega Man boots.
Like, moon shoe situation where like slips on. So like he can like slip them off and like have his wrestling boots. But I'm like, I want to see him in like the highest heels that he can possibly wear.
Like, I want to see Rhea with the mohawk because I love mohawk Rhea. I'm excited. I want to see AJ Styles' new song. I'm dying to know what is his new song. You know, how that's going to play. But then we got to say, who's going to show up? There's rumors, you know. Oh, Austin may be there. Or, you know, you got Shawn Michaels is just down the road doing NXT. Yeah. He could pop over.
A lot of people are like, oh, like Cena and Stone Cold are going to show up because they're on the truck. And that truck isn't one that's like traveling. Like that was a special truck.
I saw that.
The event, and I'm like.
And Trish. And Trish. Mm-hmm. Trish was on there too. It's going to. I'm excited to see it. I want to see the stage.
Cena has the new like Roku show. So I guess they could have him come in to like. Not that he needs any promotion for wrestling.
No.
Wrestling, you know who John Cena is. Like, you don't need that. But, you know, maybe Roku.
Could we see Taker?
I don't know. He might make an appearance, but I don't see him getting involved in anything.
His podcast is good too. I've listened to his podcast. He's got some good takes. I would love to see Dustin, like you said. The one member I would love to see Dustin show up, and I mean, just work out a deal with Tony Khan. I'm pretty sure Tony would do it.
I think Tony would care. No. You do you. I don't care. It's just, you know, the being on camera thing. Like WWE is going to be like no, but it's like, you know, you can easily call him. Like they use Daniel Bryan. For what was it? What video? Some superstar.
Yeah.
They made like a thing for him. They used Daniel Bryan. He made a comeback, even though he was currently Bryan Danielson. And there was another person I think that they did that with too. So it's like,
I think so.
Wouldn't be out of the realm for Dustin. I mean, he comes in just plain clothes, Dustin Reynolds. Like, he's not going to come in as, you know,
the natural or gold dust.
Have like half of his face painted blue, and then like his getup, like it's just gonna be Cody's brother.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure. You know, we know Dustin's gonna be there. Mm-hmm. It's his brother main event, and especially if Cody's gonna win the title, Dustin's gonna be there. Whether or not he's on camera, that's the whole other story. But you know, Dustin, it's kind of like Bayley, Tamina, and Naomi were at.
Yeah.
AEW when Mercedes debuted.
Yeah.
They don't have a problem with them going back and forth, which I think that's Hunter again. Hunter doesn't care. You know, as long as it's the guidelines are followed, where, you know, Vince would be like, no, you can't go. You're fired if you go.
Yeah. I mean, last year they did let Brody Lee Jr. get in, but I guess if you're not following AEW that closely, you don't realize, like, he's a
well, that was Brody Lee Jr., wasn't negative one.
True. That's what I'm saying.
And they never mentioned he was negative one.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, just take off the face paint and Dustin Rhodes is allowed.
He's allowed. You know, so that's, I think there's a lot of what ifs this year. It's the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Just like last year was the biggest WrestleMania of all time. But it's the, and I look at it like this. What's really, and this is hitting home for me, is I turned 41 years old this June. So I have been alive pretty much, you know, well, WrestleMania 1 was probably already done by the time I was born in June. But 40 years of WrestleMania, I'm 40 now. This has been one hell of a ride of WrestleManias. Going back to my first memory ever of wrestling was Hulk and Andre. That was my first memory that I clearly remember. And this is a, I've told everyone, you know, I've told my girlfriend and everything. I'm like, look, this weekend. You can text me, but I'm watching WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a little sad because this is the first WrestleMania in years that my kids won't be with me because of the way the visitation schedule works. But they get to watch NXT Stand and Deliver with me. So we're going to do it upright and watch NXT Stand and Deliver. Then we'll watch WrestleMania on a replay when they're with me. But WrestleMania, to me, has always been a fun weekend, especially now that it's on Peacock. We don't know next year if it's going to be on Peacock, if it's going to be on Netflix. There's a whole thing of the Attitude Era is coming back with blood and cursing and all that good shit. Mm. How are they going to do it on Netflix? I mean, that's all talk for another show. But I'm excited for WrestleMania this weekend.
I'm excited to see all of it. Even the matches that I don't care about, I'm sure, like last year, there were a lot of matches that I didn't care about. And as I was watching them, I suddenly care. Like the matches were good enough that they made me care.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for that. I'm excited to see what, you know, a Triple H WrestleMania looks like. I'm just this whole like Rock, Roman, Cody, Seth, I guess, in a way. Like, are Cody and Seth going to coexist? Are they going to end up turning on each other? You know, there's like an accident, Seth hits Cody or something, and then are they going to turn on each other? Are they going to like stay together? The Rock and Roman kind of also. Who's going to win? Are there going to be stipulations? And so then going into Roman versus Cody, like, what happens? Roman said, I think it was in an interview, it wasn't in his documentary, but he kind of said, like, if I lose, like, I'm retiring.
Mm.
So, like, is that actual? Is that fake? Is this, you know, I mean, he does have a limited schedule based on, you know, I think still dealing with, you know, his leukemia aftermath, which is understandable. We know that Roman versus The Rock is definitely going to happen. Do you think, I've heard a lot of people say that, because this was originally, you know, Roman, Cody won the Rumble, Cody called out Rock, or Cody called out Roman, and then suddenly The Rock got involved and was like, no, this is my match. Do you think that if the internet wouldn't have riled behind Cody the way that they did, that it would have been The Rock and Roman, or did the internet actually change the outcome of this situation?
That's the question. There's been things that, you know, did they pivot? Did they not pivot? Was this the plan all along? I think it could have been, you know, Rock came back. He wants the WrestleMania spot. He talked about, you know, him and Roman would have been last year, but he didn't have the time. But it's not the first time we've seen the fans change.
Yeah, I have heard people say, like, no, this was the plan all along. And I'm like, that sounds like a good story. But if you think about it, like, if they would have changed it, be like, if The Rock was like, no, Cody, like, this is my year, like, you can have, you know, the next time or whatever, and the fans just went along with it, and they were like, yeah, Rock, like, we're so excited, there would have been no reason to have what we have now. I really think that it was the rallying behind Cody, just like they rallied behind Daniel Bryan, and they rallied behind having... Which match was it, like, a few years back? There was a women's match, and I think they ended up putting Becky. They made it a triple threat, I think. Was it Charlotte, Ronda,
Supposed to be, it was Becky, because Becky won the Rumble. It was going to be her and Rousey. And then they put Charlotte in there, and that pissed everybody off.
I thought that people liked that.
No, from what I remember, people were pissed that Charlotte got put in there, because, you know, they wanted a true one-on-one Ronda versus Becky, because that was after Becky got her nose broken. She started being the man.
I think it was also that year, because there was one of the years that they were able to make the women's match the main event. That was a crazy rally. Like, that was probably one of the biggest rallies for, like, a
woman. Yeah, that was Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky. They main evented, because the year before that, it was Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky.
Mm-hmm.
When they changed the Divas title to the women's title.
Yeah. So, yeah, that match being the main event was something that I think that social media was the reason they did that.
Yeah.
So, like, and social media has the power.
They do. And I'm not even going to get into the whole Rock's football analogy of, oh, if they use the Super Bowl, they can't come back and say they want a rematch next year. He won the Royal Rumble, Rock. He gets to choose.
Yeah.
That's
the whole, like, rule of the Royal Rumble, is that you get to choose.
It's the whole rule.
So... Roman and Cody.
The last one, yes. I honestly think Cody's going to take it. I think, you know, it's been a 2-year long story. Cody's going to take it. It's going to feel good for everything. Roman, he's want to take some time off. I really think it's Cody's time. He's the highest merch seller. Give him the shot. That's what I think. I think it's going to be Cody. They're going to end us on a good note this year.
I keep thinking about it, and I'm just like, how far away is Roman on Sunday? Is that when he ties Hogan?
I thought he didn't tie Hogan until SummerSlam.
I couldn't remember. I thought he tied.
I think it's SummerSlam. Maybe. If he makes it to SummerSlam, he'll tie or surpass Hogan.
It's where I'm conflicted because I would love for him to pass Hogan in numbers. I don't think he needs to do San Martin. Like, no, you don't need to be titled like the champion for the next 10 years. But
I really think if he does Hogan, because there's been all these things showing up, you know, Hogan's reign versus Roman's.
Yeah.
But then they always show Hulk defended the title over 500 or something times during that time frame. Roman's only defended it 30 to 40.
Yeah.
You know, and I think now I don't know. I think Hogan's in good standings with the company now. After all that debacle a few years ago with the Bubble of Luz Spun shit.
I mean, I think Hulk's in 30 or not raw triple X.
Yeah. And he did that. He did that thing for him before the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. He's on the Bray Wyatt documentary. Hulk's on there talking about Bray. Cause I mean, he faced his father and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I honestly, as a Hulkamaniac, the little 8-year-old me, Hulkamaniac, saying my prayers and eating my vitamins and all that, I don't want Roman to overtake Hulk because honestly, in my opinion, Hulk is still and will always be a bigger star in wrestling than Roman is. But I could see them doing it because records are made to be broken. I mean, Honky Tonk's broken. All the others are broken.
Yeah.
But I think the two that they can't, I don't know if the two they want to touch is Hogan and Bruno.
I don't think they'll touch. I mean, they can't touch Bruno. Like,
no.
Literally so long from now. Like, I don't see that ever being broken. Not in, like, the way that everything is today. But
did they have Bob Backlund's reign on there, too, that he broke Bob Backlund's?
I think so. I think Hogan's, like, his next milestone.
Yeah, Hogan is his next one. I wasn't sure if Bob was on there because Bob held it for a long time too.
I guess, but I mean, the main thing is if Cody wins, he finishes the story. That's the whole thing. This whole thing's about you got to finish the story. You know, his dad never got it. All this stuff. Cody has to finish the story.
And we've already seen Cody losing and not being able to vie for a title. We already saw that in AEW.
I guess I'm just like, okay, Cody finishes the story. You get that great moment at WrestleMania. But then I'm kind of like, he kind of goes down from there in a way. Because it's like, that to me is like the highest.
Right.
Like, how does he keep that momentum? Like, who does he face it? Like, what happens next? I don't know. Like, I almost feel like him winning. But I also feel like him losing, he's not going to get, you know, another shot.
Right.
Anytime soon.
So what does he do then?
I kind of feel like he, momentum-wise, is almost in a lose-lose situation.
Right.
I might be wrong, but I always ask people, I'm like, who's he going to face? Like, how does he keep this going? And no one has an answer.
Right. And I mean, I think there's people that they are starting to build that could be viable. I mean, I've loved the build they've been doing with Shinsuke.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've seen him and Cody. But I think Shinsuke could be viable. AJ Styles is always viable.
Shinsuke never gets the matches that he deserves. Like, he finally will get a big match, and then they just go and mess it up. And even under Triple H, they messed it up.
Right. I mean, we'll have to see who they bring in, who they bring up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've got a Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
We do have a Bron Breakker, 25 miles an hour. Just call him Steiner, and I'm good.
I don't know. Just call him Steiner. Call him Steiner. Just let that be a thing.
I mean, I get it. Make yourself on your own. But they basically said from the very beginning, this is the son of Rick Steiner.
Yeah, I mean, they even brought. They've heavily acknowledged that. It's just for some reason he doesn't get to keep the name. But it's, well, it'll be interesting. I think I'm one of the only people that, at least the people that I work with, I love the people that I work with and I love our wrestling talks, but the other day, one of my supervisors was trying to tell me that Jon Moxley is going to come back at WrestleMania, and I was like, no. Jon Moxley will never come back to WWE. No. If he does, it's not going to be right now. Maybe he'll pull a Punk, and in like 15 years, maybe he'll change his mind. But Mox is not. Mox is finally on vacation. Let the man have a vacation, you know?
Let the man have a vacation. So, with that, this has been a WrestleMania super special, because it is WrestleMania week. It's also been the return of Team Rainbow Dash after so many freaking years. But it also marks the return of the Nerd Rage Renegades, and Chief will be back with us on our next episode, because we are back. We are back. We're back in business. We are kicking rear end. So,
as Eric,
we're going to have fun with this.
As we're back and better than ever.
Better than ever, because you know what? No inhibitions anymore. Screw it. We're going to talk about what we want, when we want, how we want. You can hear us at, you know, every Wednesday. We're going to be dropping an episode every Wednesday. Spotify, Podbean, everywhere you listen to your podcasts. So we're back. We're back in black. We're back and better than ever, as Eric Bischoff said. So with that, check out WrestleMania. We want to hear what you want to what you say. Drop us something on X at Nerd Rage Renegades. Drop us something on Spotify. Tell us what you think about WrestleMania. So until next time, when Chief returns to us, thank you all. Have a good night.
Hi, everybody.